Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. He hosts Better Money every Saturday and Sunday morning on the Morning News with Kara Sundland. You've seen him as an analyst for Fox Business, Fox Connecticut, NBC 30, and WTNH Channel 8. He's been published in Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, and The Hartford Business Journal. He's written several of his own books, including most famously, The Money Map, and most recently, The Wealthy Think Differently, How to Discover and Challenge Your Financial Philosophy. We're actually going to be talking about that book today. But first, I should say, Joel, how are you? Always a pleasure.
Doing great. Excited about the program today. We're going to talk a number of things, not just about the new book that I have coming out. Actually, it's just come out. But we're going to talk about late bloomers, people that get started a little late for retirement planning, and also people that have been in retirement for a few years and maybe feel like they're behind the eight ball. They can't have the lifestyle that they want to have. Also, we're going to talk about the consequences of cutting corners in your investments, in your retirement planning, in your financial life. What does it really cost when we try to take shortcuts? So great show today. Maybe grab a pen and a pencil so you can take some notes. If you're driving in the car, don't do that. But we're excited. I'm excited about the program today, and I think you'll get a lot out of it.
Well, we were planning to talk about the new book, and lo and behold, Joel, I see on Twitter a few days ago, there was this discussion, there was a hashtag going around that was, why I'm not rich, hashtag why I'm not rich. So people were explaining why they think they aren't wealthy. And of course, you know, some of them were funny, like I buy too much avocado toast for the millennial crowd. And, you know, some were serious reasons about why people say they aren't rich. But I thought this would actually be a great intro into talking about your book, which, again, is titled The Wealthy Think Differently. Well, a lot of your clients and people you visit with, I know they probably have differing definitions of what wealthy means. So how do you define it? That's probably the first thing we should talk about.
Well, to me, well, first of all, let's look at the entire world here. If you live in the United States relative to the rest of the world, you are wealthy. There is no question about that. You may not have all the money to do all the things that you want to do, but if you look at the rest of the world, and of course, those of you listening to me right now that have traveled, you know how good we have it in the U.S. from a prosperity standpoint, from healthcare, access to education, access to clean water, and so on. So with that said, though, I think wealthy gets confused with income many times, especially in the political arena when, you know, we hear debates about so-and-so makes X amount of money, so he's wealthy. Well, no. Wealth and income are two completely different things. So what I consider wealthy is you have enough money set aside to live for the rest of your life in a lifestyle that you've come accustomed to. What does that mean? Different things for different people, but wealthy is definitely not income. I know people that make $1 million a year that are dead broke. In fact, they're right on the verge of bankruptcy because of the way they spend money. I also know people that make $60,000 a year that are saving 20% of their income. And so wealthy is about creating a pile of money that can take care of you without you having to go out and work. It's not about how high your income is. I can think of the thousands of people that have come in for help from us, from me, over the last, let's say, 10 years, and how many of them have very high incomes, barely have two nickels to rub together. They live in a big house. They drive the Mercedes. They go out to eat all the time at very nice restaurants. And if they lost their job or they lost their position at the law firm or at the medical practice, they'd be in big trouble within 3 to 6 months. So wealthy is net worth. Wealthy is building up money that creates independence and freedom for you. It's not necessarily income. And that's where I think a lot of people get it wrong. Think about it. A lot of people, they'll see somebody driving a nice car and they'll say, oh, that guy's rich. That has nothing to do. The car has nothing to do with your wealth. If you haven't figured it out, you can pretty much go into any car dealer and sign a piece of paper and drive out of there with an $80,000 car. That doesn't mean you're wealthy.
Probably the same thing that makes people misunderstand what a millionaire is. A lot of people think a millionaire is somebody who makes $1 million a year. No, a millionaire is somebody who has $1 million. You could make $45,000 a year and be a millionaire. That's possible. So certainly an important distinction to understand there. Well, Joel, on that note, let's talk about your book. I wanted to highlight a few of the chapters in there. By the way, again, it's called The Wealthy Think Differently, How to Discover and Challenge Your Financial Philosophy. You talk about the ways that the wealthy do think differently. One of those things you highlight in one of the chapters is the relationships that wealthy people have.
Yeah, what I have noticed, and I don't mean to make a totally blanket and general statements here, because obviously there are always exceptions, but overall, what I have found, and again, doing this for so many years, 1989 I started out in this business, and of course, we have very, very wealthy clients, and we have clients that are just good, hardworking, average Americans. And one of the things I notice is that the wealthy value relationships a lot more than they value money. They will tend to, for instance, let's say they have a car salesman and they've bought two or three cars from that particular dealership and always dealt with that particular salesman. Well, they will put a premium on going back and working with that same person because they feel like they have a relationship. People that don't think like that, they'll be going online, getting the exact invoice price that the dealer paid for the vehicle. They'll go to four different dealerships trying to beat the daylights out of the salespeople and the dealerships on who can get me the cheapest price and so on and so forth. And they'll spend all kinds of energy there because the relationship is just not important. What's important is saving a nickel here or there. Now, I'm not trying to insult the person that does that. I'm just saying, overall, wealthy people value relationships. Wealthy people would much rather put a premium on good, solid relationships, advisory-type relationships, or family relationships than they do on saving a buck here and there.
Very interesting. All right. Another chapter that you covered in the book in terms of the way wealthy people think differently is just the general philosophy they have. Now, is this philosophy an investment philosophy? Is this just philosophy on money in general? What are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about here is somebody's thought pattern or mindset towards money and how that could come out of your childhood, about the way that your parents handled money, any kind of traumatic event around money that happened when you were young. So, you know, there's not a lot of people around anymore that were born or started out during the Great Depression. But, you know, my grandfather, who's passed away since, I believe his birth year was 1907. So he was 30 years old, right in the midst of the Great Depression. There is no way in the world that is not going to have a massive impact on his philosophy about money. He died in 1996. So, you know, 90 years old, he died, or 89 years old. But that living through the Great Depression, remembering what it was like, had a permanent shaping of his money philosophy. Also, where else does money philosophy come from? It could come from setbacks you've had. Maybe if you've lost a job or you had high income and all of a sudden you couldn't get work for a year. I remember my dad worked for a big publishing company. The industry changed. He was actually out of work for 6, 7, 8 months. I was pretty young, but I know that had a massive impact on my dad, and it was a very difficult time for my mom and dad. That probably affected his money philosophy. The other thing about money philosophy is, you know, there's the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundance mindset. The abundance mindset says, hey, there's a lot of abundance out there. There's enough to go around. Things will work out okay if I just keep doing the right thing. The world is getting better. That's an abundance mindset. The scarcity mindset is everything is a zero-sum game. If I get a dollar, I've taken it from somebody else. If somebody gets rich, it's because they've stepped over the little people. There's not enough to go around. The world is becoming a worse place. And so the wealthy, for the most part, and again, wealthy people I know is not representative of everybody, but they tend to have an abundance mindset. They believe that there's an abundance of opportunity, there's an abundance of wealth out there, the relationships can get better, that their future is bigger than their past. That's one of the big things, that their future is bigger than their past. That's the abundance mentality. That is also part of a money philosophy.
One thing in the book that we could probably spend an entire show on, so I need to be careful bringing it up here, but we'll just touch on some of the highlights. And the title of the chapter is The Crowd is Usually Wrong, right? So how does this apply to our financial planning, and how do wealthy people think differently on this?
Well, wealthy people do two things. One is they are aware that many times the crowd is usually wrong. Not always, but many times. But they also tend to have advisors in different areas of their lives that will check them when they get into situations where their emotions are taking over. Now, that could be about money. It could be about finances. It could be about where to live. It could be about when to buy a house, when to mortgage up a property, when to buy a commercial building, when to sell a commercial building. It might be in a number of areas. But I think the wealthy tend to realize that many times the crowd is wrong. I'll give you a couple examples. When do most people buy stocks? When the market's at a high. When do most people sell stocks? When the market's at a low. So the crowd is usually wrong. There's actually a theory called the odd lot theory. It's a theory in investing that says whatever trades that are broken up by less than 100 share increments. So most stock trades that some of you know this, some of you might not, but most stock trades are done in 100 share increments. When you have odd lots, that means that tends to mean the people trading the stocks are smaller investors, 37 shares, 32 shares, 7 shares. The odd lots usually represent the smaller investors that represent most people, and they're usually wrong. So technicians will look at where are the odd lots going? Are most of the odd lot trades selling or are they buying? And then based on that, they'll go the opposite way in the market. I know that gets a little confusing, but again, the crowd is usually wrong. When were most people buying their second home, buying a third home, buying another commercial building, taking out a home equity loan to maybe buy another rental property? When was that happening the most? 07, 06, 07, beginning of 08, when did that whole thing fall apart? Right in 08 or 09, most people were panicking, selling properties, going bankrupt. When was the smart money buying? Right when there was, they call it on Wall Street, blood in the streets, pardon my expression, but when everything looked like it was the end of the world, smart money was buying. Foolish money or the majority were selling. So the crowd is usually wrong in so many different areas. And if there's one thing I can teach you, it's to think that way. And when everybody is thinking one way, start to check yourself and saying, hey, is everybody wrong on this? It doesn't hurt. They might not be wrong, but many times the crowd is wrong.
Well, you want to be sure that you're not making decisions in your own financial life that are based on what you've heard from the crowd. So that's why you need to have a customized plan in place for your retirement. And Joel, I know that's what the Money Map Retirement Review is all about. Tell us what that looks like and how we get that for ourselves.
Well, yeah, when you come in and you get your customized Money Map Retirement Review, we talk about some of these things with you. But from a more concrete standpoint, you get a customized plan that's based on you. It's based on the way you think, the dreams that you have, the fears that you have, the experiences that you've had in your life that shape your money philosophy, so that you can know that not only do you have a plan going forward, whether you're already in retirement, you have an investment plan in place, we want to make sure that you have the right one in place, or whether you're getting ready to retire, not only will you have a concrete plan based on your individual personality, your philosophy about money, but that plan will keep you on track when things get tough, and things will always get tough, not necessarily in your personal life, but in the world with the stock markets, with what's going on down in Washington, D.C., these tectonic shifts that are going on in our country right now. You want to be able to stick with your plan, and that's what the Money Map gives you. It gives you a concrete plan. There's three basic components, but it gets more detailed than this. We get into, do you have enough money to last for the rest of your life, and are you invested properly to make sure you keep that money, you don't lose too much? Way too many people are taking too much stock market risk right now. The second is, we do an analysis of your portfolio. I mentioned earlier, are you taking too much stock market risk? Do you have to take the risk that you're taking? Again, we'll analyze that for you, and then you be the judge whether you're taking too much risk. And what most people love about the Money Map is we put your whole financial life on one page. That's why it's called your map. So we want to bring you into our office and give you that. We'll customize it for you. There's no obligation. You come in and sit with us, and we will give you your personal money map. Again, no obligation, no pressure. If you want to do business down the line with us, that's fine. We want to put this into your hands as a loyal listener. Call 1-800-705-1232 to get your money map. 1-800-705-1232. And by the way, text that number with your first and last name. If you'd rather do that than calling, sometimes some folks don't want to call. They'd rather text. Either way, it's convenient for you, whichever way you do it. It needs to be convenient for you. 1-800-705-1232. 805-1232. When you do text, leave your first and last name.
Again, 800-705-1232. When you come in, you'll get a copy of one of Joel's books. You could pick any of his seven books that you want. But, of course, the one we've talked about today is The Wealthy Think Differently, How to Discover and Challenge Your Financial Philosophy. Happy to send you home with a copy of that book when you come in for your Money Map Retirement Review. Again, 800-705-1232 is the number to call or text. As Joel said, just be sure to include your first and last name if you text. 800-705-1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. And Joel, we should talk about some ways that people cut corners when it comes to their retirement planning. We've seen a lot of this recently. I don't know if it's laziness in some cases, maybe procrastination in other cases, just intellectual laziness maybe. I don't know. But a lot of people are cutting corners in a lot of different areas of their retirement plan. In fact, I would say almost everybody has tried to cut corners somewhere, whether they've realized it or not. So let's talk about some of these things you want to be sure you're not doing. One of the things we see, and this is the way that people cut corners, is taking too much risk to try to make up for not saving enough earlier in life.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of a couple that came in just a few weeks back, and they are in pretty good shape. They probably won't have to worry about having enough money to last for the rest of their lives, but I think they had 7 or 8 grandchildren. They wanted to set up trusts to leave each grandchild a certain amount of money, and they didn't quite have that amount of money. So they had enough money that they've saved to live for the rest of their lives. They had enough money to leave money behind, but not quite enough to leave each grandchild the desired amount. And so their answer to that was, well, we're going to take more risk. We're going to put more money in stocks. We've got a couple other investments that we've heard about. There's some options we can do. There's this Think or Swim account, which is kind of a trading model, and they were going to start getting involved in those things because they wanted to increase that portfolio so they could leave each child, each grandchild, the amount of money that they were thinking. That is a huge mistake. You don't want to sacrifice something. You don't want to chase something in the future, or chase some kind of a magical ideal in the future. If the cost is, if that does not go right, it's going to hurt you in the present. And so we had to talk with them and explain to them, look, you have to let that take care of itself. The first priority here is to have you not be reliant on your kids or grandkids in your later years because you blew it and you took too much risk in the market. So taking too much risk to try to catch up or try to create some ideal almost always works out bad. We've seen person after person that's come into us that's made big mistakes, taken too much risk, and been wiped out and having to start over again.
One way that people often cut corners, and I feel like most of the time they know they're cutting corners in their retirement planning, is never getting their legal documents in place.
Right now I can think of another person that came in, and they've actually become a client. We're in the process of helping them redo all their legal documents. We brought in a partner that's an estate planner, attorney that will help them do this. But no legal documents, multi-million dollar net worth. Nothing but a simple will. All kinds of problems. They have one child that they're worried about inheriting too much money at once. They've got a grandchild with special needs. They've got to get these legal documents in place, and they've just been procrastinating. One of the reasons they were procrastinating, by the way, is they met with an attorney that just gave them about 6 choices and said, here's all the information, you choose. I don't think that's doing a very good job. I think the attorney ought to give them a gentle push in the direction that he would recommend, not overwhelm people with too many choices. When I go to my attorney, I want him to tell me what to do. Give me the information, but tell me what to do. Don't give me 15 choices and you know, have me pick one. So that was part of the experience that they had that was not positive. But the other one is they've just got to get going. And luckily, they came in to see us. We started doing the planning process. Obviously, we don't do the documents for them. We're not attorneys, but we have partners that are attorneys, and those people will step in and do the documents when it's time.
We're talking about ways that people often cut corners in their retirement plans, taking too much risk to try and make up for not saving enough in earlier years, never getting your legal documents in place. Another way that people cut corners, Joel, is avoiding that long-term care discussion. Just pulling the ostrich move, sticking your head in the sand, and try to ignore the issue and hope it goes away.
Well, and this goes a little bit to what I was just mentioning, which is the estate planning process. You know, the estate planning isn't just the legal documents. It's protection of assets in case there's a catastrophic healthcare situation, or if you get sued and your assets aren't set up properly. It's so important to make sure that in event of a long-term care situation that you don't impoverish your spouse. You know, me and Wendy have been married for 31 years now. If I go into a nursing home, she not only is going to have the trauma of seeing me in a nursing home, at least I hope it'll be traumatic and very emotional for her, but the financial worry that's going to come along with that, is she going to be okay now that she's cutting checks for these massive amounts of money to the nursing home? So we've got to have a discussion with you about long-term care. You have to plan for this. It doesn't mean you should buy insurance. Some people should buy insurance. Other people should do some legal planning where they can protect some assets, maybe a combination of the two. But you've got to have that discussion. Don't cut corners when it comes to long-term care and asset protection.
And then one final way that people cut corners is just not getting organized, never taking the time to get everything figured out. What do you have? How is it invested? What's it doing for you? Just disorganization can ruin a retirement plan.
Yeah, and there's two groups of people here. There's people that really, truly are disorganized, and then there's people that have their financial affairs way too complicated. So let's talk about those two groups. One is just not getting organized, where, you know, people don't even know where things are. They have a 401k at this company they worked for 15 years ago. They're not sure how this insurance policy works. They don't have everything consolidated on one piece of paper, so they know where it all is. That's one type of person, and we can help. That's not that uncommon. You don't have to feel bad about yourself if you're that person, because quite frankly, most Americans don't have their finances organized. The other type of person is the person that feels like they're organized because they have everything on a spreadsheet or in a binder or on a computer document, but their whole situation is way too complex. You've got assets that overlap each other. You've got four different brokerage accounts because you think somehow diversification means having different accounts in different places. You don't quite understand how those mutual funds work. You think you do, but you don't know what you don't know. If you pass away, if you're the person that's keeping track of all this and you pass away and you're married, your spouse probably can't get a handle on it. That's why we do this one-page plan for people where their entire financial life is on one page. One of the advantages of that is it helps you get organized. But the other advantage is you see how complicated your situation is, and you realize places where you can simplify your financial situation. So cutting corners, all these different areas, taking too much risk, not having your legal documents and estate planning done, not having a discussion about long-term care, getting organized. These are all things that are so important that you want to make sure, as a steward of your wealth, that you take care of these things. Again, I don't care if you're 10 years from retirement or you've been retired for 10 years or anywhere in between. All of these fundamental issues that we're discussing here are important. They mean a lot to you. They need to be important to you as it is to get up and plan your day or to plan your week. And that's why we do the Money Map Retirement Review for you, that Money Map Retirement Plan. So once again, come on in, get a copy of one of my books. I've written 7 books, and you can get a lot of value from those books. There's no obligation, but what I really want to do for you is that Money Map Retirement Plan, that one-page financial plan. It's got the backup of the income analysis for you, the risk analysis of your portfolio, but you'll leave our office feeling good because you have a copy of that money map that's customized for you, instead of feeling uncomfortable or maybe even going through pain because you're uncertain about your financial future. Don't be uncertain about your financial future. Get the money map. You can text us right now, 1-800-705-1232. Leave your first and last name, 1-800-705-1232, or call. We'll set up a time for you to come in, visit with us in one of our offices, and get your money map.
800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. Call or text. Just be sure to include your first and last name if you text. 800-705-1232. Come in for your Money Map Retirement Review. It's completely complimentary. That process, you'll leave with a lot of knowledge about what's going on with your money and a better ability to make decisions for yourself moving forward. You'll also get a copy of one of Joel's books when you come in. One more time, 800-705-1232. That's all we have time for this week on Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week.
investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.